Welcome to Blood Moon Milk, the astrology podcast that's been on hiatus for a long ass time, but now we're back, especially for this fantastic solar eclipse in the sign of Aries to help you on your mindfulness, meditation, and manifestation journey so you can live your best life. I'm your host, Aurora, but before we jump into the incredible astrology of this supercharged new moon, which is a super moon, by the way, I'm sure a lot of you, especially old listeners, are wondering where I've been for the last few years. In short, I was overwhelmed with caretaking duties for my late father, who suffered a catastrophic stroke, unfortunately, in May of 2020. And he passed away a little over a year ago, but it was a long, very difficult health struggle. And I was his only child. He wasn't married. And so all of those responsibilities fell on my plate. And I also had a full-time job and a relationship. And I just didn't have the bandwidth to do the podcast the way I really felt like it deserved to be done. So I made the choice to put it on the shelf for a little while and focus on those other areas of my life. But it's given me a chance to live life and absorb and even go deeper as an astrologer than I ever have before. So I want to say thank you for all of you who are listening now, who maybe you're just finding this podcast and you're willing to give it a chance, but especially to all of my subscribers who continue to support me this whole time via the Daily Dose email newsletter. I cannot say thank you enough to you. There were a lot of dark, difficult days when writing that newsletter was the only positive thing I could focus on, and it kept me aware of what was going on astrologically. It kept me in touch with those gifts that I have and kept me on that learning path. So in a lot of ways, the last few years of not doing the podcast have given me time to pay attention to other areas of my life, but then I'm able now to come back and offer a deeper, more insightful, more compassionate voice and go deeper astrologically than I have ever been able to before. I've also had more time to meet with private clients for readings, which, by the way, if you want to book a session with me, just shoot me an email over at aurora@bloodmoonmilk.com. Just make sure you spell Aurora with an H at the end, @bloodmoonmilk.com, and I'll get you scheduled. All my payment systems are getting switched up at the moment because I got too popular and my payment systems crashed. So I'm doing a lot of admin work on the back end right now to get things up and running smoothly. But in the meantime, if you want a session, just reach out via email and I'll get you scheduled and on the books. I would love to look at what the stars have in store for you to help you make the best use of your time. Because in my experience over the last few years, that's been one of the hardest lessons I've learned in a very upfront and personal way. It's that you can make money. There's a lot of it out there and you can make it and earn it. You can buy almost anything, but you can't buy time. It's the only resource that makes us all equal and that we have the same 24 hours in a day. How we use it defines our existence here on this planet in this lifetime. Astrology helps us to know when timing is on your side. Know when you have the green light from the universe to take a risk and know when it's better to sit on the sidelines for a little while. For me, it helped to cope with losing my father, who unfortunately, time wasn't on his side. Sadly, I knew exactly when he was going to pass years before it happened because I looked at his astrology chart and I could see it. It didn't make the loss or the grief any less, but I think knowing in advance did help me to prioritize spending time with him because I knew he wasn't going to be around forever. And so even though I lost a lot, I sacrificed jobs, maybe even a relationship, to spend time with him at the end of his life, but... And it's still difficult. It's still hard for me to think about. It's hard for me to talk about. But I think it's important because looking at just the demographics in general, the baby boomers are getting up there. By the year 2030, which isn't that far away, every baby boomer is going to be over 65. They'll be senior citizens and they have kids, and knowing, you know, that we're going to be losing the greatest generation in the coming years, is, and learning how to cope and be gracious towards people who are tasked with being caretakers, helps us to be more supportive to people who are on their own silent journey of caretaking, and just being more empathetic to that. Because if it hasn't happened to you yet, you're likely to have to face dealing with the loss of your parents and the loss of your loved ones in the future. And astrology, while it didn't change the fact that my dad was going to pass away, it did help me to sort of understand things on a deeper level. And there was a lot of beauty in that. So it also helped me to recognize my own health issues as patterns, and it enabled me to avoid getting sick again. So let me explain. While I was taking care of my dad, while he was passing away at home on hospice, I got shingles, like a raging case of shingles, that it was so bad. His nurses admitted they never saw blisters as big as mine. They were quite literally the size of silver dollar pancakes, and they went around my hip. And the nerve pain went from my hip to my foot, and it felt like worms living in my leg. Sorry if that's grossing you out, and that's not what you're here for. We'll get to the astrology, I promise. But there was an interesting aspect going on at that time for me in my natal chart. Saturn had just crossed over from the end of Aquarius into Pisces. It was at 1 degree of Pisces, which is where my natal Mars is. Incidentally, my dad's rising sign was 29 degrees of Aquarius, and it was when Saturn hit his ascendant there that I knew he was not going to be with us for very long at that point. So it was kind of a 1-2 punch timing-wise. And the shingles pain was like nothing. I hope nobody's ever experienced it like I have. I know this literally felt like I was burning alive. The pain not only went from my hip to my foot, and I couldn't walk, but all over, my nerves were just inflamed to the point where it felt like I was literally burning alive, with an invisible flame, invisible fire. And every time I got close to my dad, because he was the source of my stress, it felt like gasoline was being poured on me. And it's taken me a really long time to be able to talk about this without just breaking down, but I think it's really important to talk about. So Saturn being conjunct my natal Mars sort of restricts the flow of energy to be able to move around, to actually get things done. It really did that in a very aggressive, very painful way that was sort of spiritual, because in Pisces, there's a divine spirituality involved, and lessons as well. Certainly felt like a karmic lesson that I had signed up to learn, but painful nonetheless. And as Saturn moved away from that exact conjunction with my Mars, it, you know, the pain got better. Like, I began to heal, but my leg wasn't quite the same. I've been in physical therapy. I still have some residual issues. But Saturn went retrograde and went back to 1 degree of Pisces, hit my Mars again, boom, shingles again. But this time, because I had paid attention to the astrology the first time around, I was able to catch it. I was able to catch the shingles before it got full blown, before it got to the point where I felt like I was burning alive again. I was able to get medicine, and really it was just a little blip, but it really opened my eyes to the power of paying attention and being really mindful of what's going on. And that's something I can help my clients with as well, helping to identify patterns and instances where, you know, something might be painful now or in the past, but looking for ways to ameliorate that in the future. All that being said, you kind of know where I've been at the last couple of years. Thanks for bearing with me through that. Things are looking up. So don't worry. I can walk and run again. And feeling a lot better. And I'm excited to get into all of the astrology about what's going on with this incredible eclipse that we get to see here on Monday. So let's take a little music break and we'll get right back into it. Talk about all that juicy astrology. Let's talk about the astrology of this Aries eclipse, this new moon, this beginning of a whole new astrological cycle. As always with astrology, take what resonates with you and leave the rest. Energy is fluid, it's always moving, and I offer my astrological insights and interpretations as a guide for your own self-reflection and your inner journey. So let's get started. This is a new moon in Aries, which is also a supermoon and a solar eclipse that occurs at 19 degrees of Aries on Monday, April 8th, 2024. By the way, the last time there was a solar eclipse in Aries, it was 19 years ago on April 8th, 2005, and it was also at 19 degrees of Aries. So reflect on what was going on in your life back then. Certainly a lot has changed, but there also might have been doors opening up that you didn't expect that just came out of left field. Things that transpired and developed quickly took you in a new direction you never saw coming. And I think that is key and probably on theme with what's about to unfold, but it's going to take us to an even higher dimension. Eclipses can significantly impact individuals and events, especially when they closely aspect significant points in a person's natal chart. The influence of an eclipse can begin to be felt in the months leading up to it, and it can last for several months or even years after, depending on a person's chart and life circumstances. So when we talk about astrology, think about transits when they're perfected as being a drop in a pool of water. That drop, as it hits the pool, the surface of the pool, is the point of perfection. But time has a way of rippling out that point of perfection in waves that come before and after, like a bell curve. So we can feel it ramping up and we can feel it settling down after we pass that point in time. But we get a sense of what's actually happening or coming our way as those little ripples sort of start to be felt before the event of perfection. So eclipses come in pairs and they also can act as destiny portals. So the last eclipse occurred 2 weeks ago in Libra, which was kind of a nasty eclipse. Full moon eclipses, lunar eclipses can be a lot more dramatic and heavy and painful to deal with. But I really get the sense that it was clearing away the stuff that wasn't serving us, wasn't letting us grow, getting rid of things we no longer needed in order to make room for what is about to just take off in huge ways during this solar eclipse, this new moon in Aries. So you might have felt something significant have maybe, you might have felt something significant leave your life, suddenly being eclipsed out of your life. Maybe a dramatic or unexpected departure of some kind may have been felt around the last full moon, especially if you have personal planets at or near 5 degrees of Libra, which is where that eclipse occurred. Particularly if you're female, since the moon represents feminine energy, you might have felt this more profoundly if you're a woman. For our masculine listeners and our audience members, the solar eclipse can have a similar effect where masculine energy is eclipsed out of your life, or something leaves. So that could feel similarly dramatic for you during this new moon. But as a whole, I think this solar eclipse is a lot more positive and a lot more beneficial. There's a lot of exciting stuff coming down the pipeline. There's an amazing once every 12 year Jupiter-Uranus conjunction coming up later this month. And I feel like this eclipse is sort of priming us, making sure that we have enough energy, enough room in our life to really embrace that quantum leap that we're about to experience when that Jupiter-Uranus conjunction happens on April 20th. So I feel very strongly this new moon is going to signal a massive new beginning for us collectively. All that sad ending energy we were so recently in with that eclipse, that full moon in Libra, is about to make sense in hindsight. As space, as energy for new things to grow and flourish, that was freed up and created by that ending, begins to get filled with exciting, new, abundant, unexpected opportunities. So why do I think that? This new moon is conjunct with Chiron, the wounded healer. This suggests we have an opportunity for a massive collective healing, rich with themes of initiation and personal breakthroughs. Remember, Aries is the first sign of the zodiac. It's all about leadership and daring to be brave. It's a cardinal sign, which tells us which way to go. It's assertive and it doesn't always think, it just acts on instinct. So Aries' association with new beginnings, identity, and phrases like I am, combined with Chiron's role as the wounded healer, the solar eclipse points to a collective awakening around taking ownership of our actions. Perhaps we're more likely to take responsibility for our shadow self and vow to move past old wounds with understanding, kindness, and empathy. This could very likely be painful in the near term. However, I think this will be a memorable period of time and an experience that people look back to and feel was a pivot point towards a brighter, freer future. Eclipses are, by definition, near the north or south node of the moon, which is a mathematical point where the ellipses and eclipses occur in the orbit of the moon. While this eclipse occurs at 19 degrees Aries, the north node is nearby at 15 degrees Aries, pointing to a power portal for destiny to play its hand. Eclipses are wild cards. They're like new moons or full moons turned up to 100. Anything and everything is possible, but most importantly, it just feels fated. Sometimes we can only see the hand of fate in hindsight, where vision is always 20/20, by the way. But eclipses tend to have dramatic events unfold near and around them, with effects that ripple out over the course of months or even years. Mercury is also in the mix here, with a 5-degree orbit of this new moon, but plot twist, Mercury is retrograde, This adds an even deeper level of meaning to the energy at play during this transit. Just as a refresher, Mercury is the fastest moving planet in the solar system, and he regularly speeds up so quickly that he passes the sun too far from our perspective here on planet Earth, and he needs to backtrack from our point of view. Retrogrades are all an optical illusion. As we look at the sky from our perspective here on Little Ol' Earth, planets tend to make a counterclockwise trip around the sky, starting at the sign of Aries at 9 o'clock on the clock face, if you were to look at the sky, and then they finish counterclockwise right above that at 10 o'clock in the sign of Pisces. But a retrograde planet appears to be going clockwise to us from our perspective. And the way we feel the energy tends to influence the way the energy interacts with us instead of being a more intangible quality. It begins to reverse that polarity and it shows up in tangible things first and then becomes thoughts and then becomes more plasmatic in its quality. So that's why things tend to break during a Mercury retrograde period of time. This usually is always an opportunity to level up in some way or another. If you find yourself getting frustrated or hitting a roadblock or having a technical difficulty or maybe your car breaks down, almost always this is pointing to you deserving or needing to fix something so that you can be more stable and more productive and reliable moving forward. So you can have a more solid foundation so you can move more quickly in the future. But it's frustrating in the moment, especially if you're trying to move quickly and get something accomplished. But that planet's asking you to really slow your roll, focus on what's important and get aligned with that, and then make your choices about how to move forward from that place of centered being. Recognize that this can also be a time for patience. Miscommunications can be likely. There might be a sense of frustrations if actions or changes you initiate might not unfold as quickly as you like, but I get the sense that this is also to be really fortunate. Any delays right now are likely to work in your favor in the long term. So just relax, it's fine. You know, the universe has its own sense of divine timing and it's all perfect. So Chiron conjunct the new moon, solar eclipse, and Mercury retrograde brings a powerful healing dimension to this period. It emphasizes looking back at old wounds, possibly related to our ability to assert ourselves, perhaps dealing with issues surrounding aggression or even individuality. There's a strong theme of healing through purpose. What is your purpose? And revisiting past issues where your purpose might have been misconstrued or your power was given away. Maybe your identity was too wrapped up in a relationship. Now it's time to really reassert yourself as an individual. Find what it is that brings you joy and get centered around that so that you can attract the right opportunities to your doorstep. Because they're waiting for you. The things that you seek are definitely seeking you in return. Solar eclipses are known for bringing about significant change and new phases in life. So if you've been feeling stuck or like things haven't been happening quickly enough, or that you've been working and working but you don't feel recognized, if you have planets at or near 19 degrees of any of the cardinal signs, especially Aries or Libra, this is a whole new chapter for you. So get excited. Set some intentions. Get some tools out for mindfulness, meditation, and manifestation for this new moon. I suggest you embrace the color red. Aries is a fire sign after all. So this red color resonates with the root chakra. You could feel like it's time for a fundamental shift, and maybe meditating on your root chakra could help you feel literally more aligned with your core essence of being in a way that is about to feel fundamentally healed Maybe you've felt unstable recently. Or maybe you're feeling called to take a leap of faith of some sort. The ram, the Aries ram, comes from the story about the golden fleece. And it's symbolic of the ram that a hero rode to rescue his sister. And there's this, I suggest you look up the story of the golden fleece. But it's all about taking a leap of faith and just trusting in your instincts. Aries is super instinctual. It's action-oriented. It's kind of show-off-y energy. It can be really seductive in its ability to accomplish things without 100% thinking them through. Libra, on the other hand, where that last eclipse was, is all about indecision and weighing options. But Aries is like, no, I don't even need to think about it. I just know and I will do. So keep that in mind. So here's some questions for mindfulness, meditation, and manifestation. Blah, blah, blah. Take two. Here's some questions for you to think about during this new moon in Aries, this whole new beginning, this juicy solar cycle that we all get to experience collectively. Aries energy is all about new beginnings, courage, and bravery. So what is it that you've been thinking about doing for a long time that you've been called to do, but maybe you've been resistant to? What's been holding you back? Like, what's really been holding you back? If it's external circumstances outside your control, that's 100% okay. But what can you do now that's brave, that won't hurt anybody? You know, but will open doors for yourself. What feels scary? That might be a clue for just what you need to do. This energy can feel like a kickstart to your life. What parts of your life have you been sitting in the passenger seat for? Maybe it's time to take control and get in the driver's seat. Observe the areas of your life where you constantly say you should do X, Y, or Z, but just for some reason you haven't. What's that block about? How realistic are you about what you want from your goals? Do you even have goals? At least if you're the one making choices, then you're the one responsible when you make a mistake, and you can't blame anybody else. But if you're making leaps of faith and trusting that it will all work out, at least you're moving forward and you're not just mired in this ruminative state of should I, shouldn't I, couldn't I. That's stuck energy. That's not what this is about. This is time to move forward with grace, with courage, with bravery, and really get grounded in that sense of adventure, because I think we're about to have a massive opportunity for it come later this month. That Jupiter-Uranus conjunction, I'm going to do a whole another episode about that. So stay tuned. Keep listening. Email me. Let me know you're out there listening. This podcast has had almost 40,000 downloads, and I barely hear from you guys. This is my first episode in quite some time. So if you want me to keep going, tell me what you like, what you don't like. I'm just recording this on my cell phone. I need to get a new microphone and really get my act together on writing this stuff in advance like I used to. It's all entirely possible, but I love hearing from you guys. I love knowing you're out there listening, feeling like this is a benefit to you. And if you want to sign up for the Daily Dose, my daily email astrology newsletter that comes Monday through Friday, with Friday being the weekend edition, I will shoot you an email and get you signed up. People really like it. It seems like it's helped a lot of folks. It's very reliable. Comes really early in the morning, first thing you read when you wake up. And it helps you to kind of understand what's going on astrologically on a macro level for the day. It's just a paragraph or two to help you understand the themes, and helps you to learn more about your natal chart one day at a time. So if you like me, subscribe, share it with your friends, and let me know. Let me know that you're out there listening. What's been going on with you, with your astrology chart? Something you've learned. Okay, that's it for now. All the blessings and the best that the stars have to offer this exciting new moon in Aries. Until next time.
My theme music was composed by the lovely and talented Adam McIntyre, and this is Selenite Soul by Sarah Ray, playing you out. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns, email me at aurora@bloodmoonmilk.com. That's aurora@bloodmoonmilk.com. Thanks.